You're listening to Guide to Brides, the wedding podcast. I'm Nikita from Team GFB, and if you're planning your wedding or helping someone who is, you're in the right place, because I'll be discussing trends, practical planning tips, and more with the help of some special guests along the way. So let's get started with today's episode. Hello and welcome back to Guide to Brides, the wedding podcast. Today we're going to be talking all about a little trend that we've seen happening throughout the wedding industry, and that is more brides having a wedding speech at their wedding. I'm going to be one of those brides, I have to say, because you can't shut me up that easily. But I think it's a little bit trickier when you are, well, any kind of woman, I think, doing a speech at a wedding, because there's not much guidance out there in terms of what you should do, what the etiquette is, the thank yous that you should be saying. Somewhere to start, really, I think, is the most important part, and how to make it special and unique to you. So today I've brought in a special guest, Heidi from Speechy. You might remember her from a few episodes back in 2021, long time ago now, where we talked all about speeches in general. So if you have been listening for a while, you might have heard that episode. If not, go back and listen. But Heidi, would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yes, so I run a company called Speechy, and we are a team of professional speech writers. We've all got a background writing either TV scripts or ghostwriting for comedians. But writing is our passion. And hopefully with our backgrounds, we've got good experience of trying to get the best out of people. We've all got journalistic training. And now we work with people and couples around the world, trying to get the best out of them and trying to help them write awesome wedding speeches.
Amazing. And it's one of those things I think that people are so daunted by. I know my partner's like, God, just get the speech out of the way. As soon as that's done, I'll enjoy myself. And I'm like, yes, bring on the speech. So
yes, it's two different angles. Absolutely. I mean, that's what we find. Our clients do fall into those two camps. There are those that just want to make it really special. They know it has the opportunity to kickstart the party with a bang. So we're preaching to the converted there. But then the other ones who are just so nervous about doing it.
It's a daunting thing, especially if you don't do a lot of public speaking. And like, I do a lot of public speaking. So, you know, that to me is not... I mean, it's just friends and family at that point. So yeah. I'm like, meh, it's okay.
Yeah.
But in terms of him, he doesn't do a lot of public speaking. So I can see why that would be so daunting.
Yes. And strangely, when we work with even, you know, chief execs, multimillionaires, people that are used to public speaking still, can still feel nervous about doing it in the context of that more intimate and family setting as well. It's just such a bizarre experience, you know, having given a bride speech myself. I was looking forward to it as well. But when you stand up there, it is a different sort of reaction and different atmosphere. And it is one of those once in a lifetime opportunities. So, you know, it is important. You know, it is special. And yes, as you say, to people that don't do creative writing, don't do any public speaking at all, then they can get overly intimidated by it and forget that it's actually an opportunity to have fun. And that, I hope, is something that once they start speaking to us and obviously doing podcasts like this, I hope we're like trying to encourage people just to see the speeches no longer as this daunting to do, but something that is actually fun to think about and that people actually really love doing on the day.
I think that's a really, really nice point. Something that should be looked forward to. And if you think of it in a positive light, hopefully that will start getting the creative juices flowing and you'll be able to think of things that you can actually say. I think for me, the hardest part, and I know we're going to go into this in a bit, is... actually thinking about what to say. Like, I could say quite a lot, but also I've been with this person for like nearly 10 years, so for me it's like, what don't you already know and what would people find funny? There's pressure for it to be a bit funny, even if, like, because I'm not really a naturally
funny person. I have a little bit of wit here and there, not fast on my feet though. So it's one of those things where yeah. It's like really daunting. That's the thing I'm most nervous about.
Yes, I think it is like, where do you start? And I think, as you say, thinking about it, that's the first stage that puts people off. When people don't know what they're doing, it's easy for us brides just to go, well, I've done loads of wedding prep here, he hasn't done so much, or my partner hasn't done so much, so, you know, this is their thing. But actually, I think if this is not something you want to shirk off, this isn't one of those things that you want to pass on, like the transport or the table planning or anything like that. Any of those jobs are hard and you don't get much reward from it on the day. Yeah. But a wedding speech, once you get into it, once you start thinking about it, you will reap the rewards from it. I mean, I remember we went to a wedding show about 7 years ago, and I was so surprised that still so many brides just don't even consider giving a speech. Mm. But I think times are changing now. We're working with a much higher percentage of brides. And not only that, we're working with a lot more couples as well. Or the groom is speaking to us and it's no longer a secret that they're speaking to us. It's with the sort of say-so and backing of their bride, because I think that's another thing. There was this idea that it all had to be done in secret and it was this big reveal on the day. And sure, you know, the groom or the bride should be dropping some lovely compliments onto their partner on the day. But it doesn't all have to be a secret. You know, you can discuss it together and it should be seen as something that you both want to think about to ensure that there is love and laughter at that section of the day.
I love that, because I think that's what my partner and I have discussed. And we've discussed it with other people that will be doing speeches on the day, that we actually, you know, I want to know what I can expect. Don't tell me everything. If there's a bit that you think, okay, that's really heartfelt and she might enjoy me hearing, like, saying that and hearing me say that on the day, then I don't want to say that. I don't want to spoil it. So I'm fine with him going, blah, 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 not going to tell you this bit. Yeah. as we walk through it, but I think also, you know, knowing what you can expect on the day and being able to give some like feedback on that as well, because, you know, if something's too much of an in-joke, I remember we discussed this last time, yes. No in-jokes, that's a bad thing if you've got too many in-jokes, because not everyone knows
what it segregates people off, doesn't it, to sort of the cool young ones or the ones that were down the pub or whatever. So you want all the anecdotes, even if people weren't there, you want everyone to have an understanding of it and an appreciation of it. And ultimately, what the newlyweds need to do with their speeches is get everyone in the room rooting for them.
Okay.
So it's not just your thank yous, but it's, you want to leave everyone with a hearty smile on their faces. So it's not like you need to get belly laughs. It's not a stand-up routine, but you want that sense of, that everyone had. Remember when Ross and Rachel were kind of going out in Friends? Everyone was rooting for them. Yeah, I mean, obviously it ended in a bit of a disaster, but everyone wanted them to be this ace couple. And that's what you want everyone at your wedding to feel like. You know, everyone knows and loves you, but you want them to go, oh my God, yes, come on. We're here for you. And
I think people can relate to the fact that you're standing up and you're actually putting yourself out there.
Yes.
So they will naturally want you to do well anyway.
Oh, absolutely. You're never going to get a more supportive crowd. People are there to enjoy themselves. They're absolutely, they've got your back. And that's one of the tips I think we've discussed before. But, you know, as soon as you get your first giggle, your first bit of laughter, not only will you relax, but your audience will too. They'll feel like they're in safe hands and they will relax into the rest of your speech. So that sort of icebreaker at the top of your speech is quite important, just to set the vibe.
Amazing. So I think that leads us nicely into, let's talk about bride speeches and how to structure one. I think that's quite a nice point to move on to now, because, you know, as we were saying, if you type in on Pinterest and you type in like how to write a bride speech, I've done this. And it's all that comes up is bridesmaid speech, groom speech etiquette, groom speech tips, blah, blah, blah. There's not really much out there in terms of what a bride should say or could say or how they could structure it. So do you have any tips for that first instance? Because that's my natural thing, is like, okay, what do I actually need to say in this speech?
So 2 points here. So the first point is probably quite annoying. And that's like, so the first point is, there's actually no rules.
That's great news. But also I can see why that's very annoying for someone like me, who's very type A.
Yes. So ultimately, on point one, if you and your partner sat down and you both go, right, we've got loads of people here, loads of thank yous, but let's not make our speeches just thank you lists. Let's just both tell a funny story about each other. You can do that. You can both stand up and just go, right, so why did we get married? I think this story sums it up. And let's propose a toast to this. It could be as simple as that. But, you know, if you want to do thank yous and things like that, then again, talk about it and make sense of who's going to thank who and, you know, how are you going to divvy up those thank yous? So you've got to think about the overall context of your wedding and what you want your speeches to do. On the second point, if you do want a basic structure, the basic structure is similar to the groom's. It is that sense of welcoming everyone. So it's the etiquette, welcoming everyone and thanking everyone. That's the traditional core of the speech. But then what I would always suggest a good speech needs is stories, humour and sentiment.
So a bit like a podcast, really.
The ultimate mix. So just to reiterate, in the structure, you want the etiquette, stories, sentiment and humour. OK, and in terms of that structure, you want to welcome people. And then you want to get into the theme of the speech. So a lot of people make the mistake of starting with the thank yous. And I would say that's a mistake, because it just sounds so predictable. Mm-hmm. And even if your thank yous are really genuine, really thoughtful and add humour and meaning, it's just predictable, whereas I think you can do more with your speech. So, you know, think of a theme that you're going to go with. You know, is it a theme? Can be something really simple. It can be, you know, despite our differences, here we are today. And then you talk about your differences and how differences bring something magical to a union or whatever. Or it could be, it's a decade ago since we first met in a bar, and let me tell you what I've learned about him since then, or something. But start with the story, start with the idea behind your speech and the point you want to make, and then get to the thank yous later on in the speech once everyone's sort of on board with what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice way of putting it, because if you have a sort of basic structure that you can go, right, here's what everyone will be expecting, but then how can I make it my own?
Yes.
Is and how can I make that sort of relevant to us as a couple?
Yes.
So maybe an action from this podcast for you all is to sort of pause it here, write down a list of the ways that you can make it really personal to you, and how you can thank your partner or tell a story about them. Like, what stories come to mind?
Yes, yeah. I mean, think about, obviously, the sort of seminal moments of your relationship, the meeting, the when you fell in love, all that. That's all good content to think about, but also think about your differences, your similarities, how no other weirdo would do other than your partner. You know, think about the quirky things that you do together that you assume other couples might not do. And it's these, that sort of richness that you want to bring out in your speech, where you show how well suited you are. Or it's maybe, you know, the characteristics of your partner. You know, are they really daft? And you can talk about some of the examples of when they're really daft, but you can conclude with, although you're daft, you know, in a more sentimental way, I couldn't imagine life without your craziness in my life. So, you know, you want to round up what you've got to play with, first of all. It's a real big brainstorm, a download of what you love about your partner and why you two think it works. And once you've got a vague idea of where you're going with it, once you've got that starting premise, it becomes a lot more easy to write the rest of the speech.
And this is something you talk about in your new book. So do you yes. want to have a moment to sort of plug that?
Oh, of course, yes. So we've got this book out, and it's called The Modern Couple's Guide to Wedding Speeches. And basically, I decided to write this just over a year ago now, looking at the wedding advice that was being published. And it was, not only was it very old-fashioned in terms of making assumptions about the couple getting married, being straight, being, you know, whatever. And it also was very targeted towards the groom, hardly any talking about the bride. Or if the book was about the bride, again, it was on the assumption that you were working as single identities as opposed to as a team. Mm. This is the big thing that I really hope people take from the book, is that you can both dip in and out of it. You can work on it together, helping one of you deliver a speech. You can both deliver a speech, or you can do a joint speech, which is something that I really love. I just think it really makes sense. It works really well all the time. But obviously, Nikita, you want the mic for your own.
100%. Yeah, give me all the attention.
Quite right. I mean, I was the same too. But yeah, I just hope the book, it gives sort of inspiration. It gives over a dozen speech examples that we've written, me and the speechy team, with different types of couples in mind. So, you know, we work with people on other sides of the world. We work with people of different religions, different ages, you know, people getting married for the third time. So, you know, it's got a mix of types of speeches in there, but hopefully principles that everyone can use. And it really takes people through sort of those questions you need to ask yourself as you are developing your speech, and little tips and techniques where you can make sure that you find original humour and you manage to be romantic without being cringy.
Yeah, I think that finding original humour, I think that's something that you find out of your relationship, about out of things that you might look back on and go, oh my God, why do we do that?
Exactly.
And that might be a secret that you want to keep, and but actually, is there something funny that you can say without saying too much?
Yes, absolutely. That's the biggest tip I could give, is when you're searching for advice, and we all do it, whatever subject, do not be tempted to steal any lines that you find.
And you know what? I was gutted by this because I know I can't do it, but I watched a TikTok of a bride. I'm really sorry, I can't remember who it was, but she posted a video of her wedding speech, and her groom had obviously just done a speech before her, and she said, oh, my lovely husband has done all the thank yous, so all I'm left to do is talk about my favourite person. And there was like an aww in the room, how nice. And then she goes, so unfortunately Taylor Swift couldn't be here today. I was like, god damn it, I wish I hadn't seen that, because I really can't do that now, because that would be, but that is hilarious.
Yes,
to me.
Yes, yeah, you know. And because it would be meaningful to you as well. So that's what I always say, is just play with what you have got. And like, every couple has their oddities, their quirks, their little foibles, their debates, you know. It seems odd to be thinking about what you might argue about when you're writing your wedding speech. But actually, those sort of things, as long as it's not serious, you know, those little things about who stacks the dishwasher and why they still can't make your tea quite right, you know, that's all quite cute. If you can do it in an affectionate way, and it makes, you know, self-depreciating humour actually works really, really well. There's loads of sort of science behind how it makes you more likeable. And a weird fact, actually, self-depreciating humour supposedly makes you more physically attractive in people's eyes. So, yes, so we need to go hard on the self-depreciating humour. But, humour definitely works. But if a line could be said by another bride, try and avoid it.
Yeah, that's, if it could be said by someone else and it's not quite personal to you, then...
Yes.
What would your suggestion be if you hear something and you actually quite like that idea? Would you be able to rework it?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, I'm all for, you know, using inspiration. And, you know, the best writers did that, didn't they? They took inspiration from previous writers. And I think that's absolutely fine. I think I was talking to one of influencer for the book, and she said that when she tries to look at how you say I love you in a different way, she literally Googles it, and then it just spurs on different trains of thought. So she will never like steal the Pinterest, but she might find a 16th century philosopher talking about love, and that might just give her a kernel of an idea that then she works up. So, you know, looking for inspo is absolutely fine. And, you know, with the openers especially, it's hard to be really personal with them. So, you know, for example, I've got some lines here of what you might want to use as an opener. After your clink of the glass and getting up, you might say something like, so it seems I'm finally a missus, which seems ridiculously mature for someone who still eats Haribo and Wotsits for dinner while binge-watching Love Island. So if you turned that into something that was much more you, then that would, everyone would laugh because they knew it was you. Or, you know, so we're finally married. I can officially confirm it is rather lovely. Though I do have one concern, and that's that I can no longer insist on watching Say Yes to the Dress as vital research.
Me.
exactly.
Actually, no, I can. I work in the industry.
Yes. Well, I was thinking about you.
Oh, really?
I was thinking, like, obviously, you will create your own masterpiece, but I was thinking people within the industry could say something like, some of you might know that I'm a big fan of weddings, because it will be the elephant in the room, won't it?
Yeah.
My whole career has been based on it. So anyone dating me, well, I'm not saying that the pressure was on, but there were definitely some subliminal hints that I might like to give a bride speech at one point.
I really like that. That's frustrating now.
Oh, no, I won't say any more, but... You know, you get the idea that, you know, just think about yourself and
what's funny about yourself as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, because it's as much as it's about your relationship, it's you that's giving the speech, isn't it?
Yes,
so it's finding things about yourself that you can laugh at and other people can laugh at and your partner can laugh at as well.
Yes, yeah, you know, it might be, you know, you might stand up and not even do like that official sense of opening. It might be that you stand up and go, God, can you believe it, girls? I finally said I do. So what has made me agree to tolerate one man for the rest of my life? And then sort of go into answering that sort of that question.
Yeah, I really, really like that. So in terms, when we were sort of like prepping for this podcast, you mentioned about handovers, because traditionally, there is an order to the speeches, isn't there? So where would you suggest is a good place to start with a handover from one speech to another, and particularly between partner to partner?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just need to play within the context of your day. You know, it depends how many other speakers you've got.
I think we might have quite a few.
Well, I mean, I'm always a fan of sort of if you've got a number of speeches, separating them up either into a sort of before and after dinner or between courses, although I know photographers and caterers are really against that because it complicates everything. But it worked quite well for my wedding.
Did you do between courses?
Yeah, we just did two short ones before, one after the main, and the best man after the pudding. And it worked really well. I encouraged the groom to go before me, because he was announcing the fact I was 3 months pregnant. So I gave him that nugget of content.
So generous.
I know. And then I spent my speech mostly sort of apologising for the size of my thighs as a content and tummy and fitting into the dress. But that worked really well for us. But, and again, I don't know if you've got a more festival-y style wedding. It can be more ad hoc and more spaced out. But if it's a formal day and you are doing them all together, I think an MC works well sometimes. You know, someone that knows you both well, someone that can give you 30 seconds sort of in between each other, just to intro who everyone is, and give everyone a chance to relax into their speech. Or if it's just more casual, it can just be you guys giving each other a kiss and saying, over to you now. You know, I don't think there doesn't need to be a formal etiquette on that.
Mm-hmm. And would you say as well, because we won't be keeping our speeches wholly secret from each other. So would you say that there's a benefit there to being able to weave them together? Or would you say actually that they need to be individual?
So I think, yeah, that could work well. For example, you know, one of you could be talking about your interpretation of your first ever date, and then you can come back with a variation of that, like how you saw it quite differently. So yeah, these things can work quite well, and add a bit of, you know, it looks like it's well thought out. Like that's, I think one of the influencers I spoke to for the book was saying, you know, consider it a play. Like you wouldn't just let the actors go up there and leave them to their own devices. You give them a sense of what their purpose is, what their role is, and what they're trying to do. So you've got to think about the overall play as opposed to just your part of it.
Yeah, because I think as well, like, there is lots of things in sort of the typical day-to-day, isn't there, that you can find humour in, and you can find ways to link to each other. I like the analogy there to a play, because, you know, often when you watch one part of a play and it links to the second part or after the, you know, that makes it more interesting, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yeah.
And I think, you know, just sitting here while you're talking, thinking about different things that we could say, and like how actually lived together now for quite a while. So yes. Can we talk about the mundane parts of life that are just really pleasant?
I mean, that's a really interesting way to do it. Yeah. I mean, he could do all the romance, the passion, and you come in with the, and now this is our reality. But obviously, package that up into the romance of the everyday and everything like that. But it could be a funny contrast at the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. So almost a work together to make it more interesting for the listeners.
Yeah. That would be lovely. Yeah, exactly.
So it's one of those things where it's actually, while the day's about you, this is not a moment for you. This is a moment for your guests, isn't it?
Yes,
and for
absolutely.
The other people. So.
But I think... That's the way I viewed it going into it. It was about trying to add something to the day and trying to make everyone have that glow within them and that spirit of happiness and love. Because, again, I think there is some science behind. When we watch a good rom-com, our hormone levels react as if we're in love. And I think that's what you want to replicate within your wedding speech. You want that sense of oxytocin or whatever it is, sort of rushing through everyone's bodies and everyone feeling a bit more loved up as a result of listening to you guys.
Yeah, and hopefully by this point they've had a few drinks down.
Exactly. That helps too. And yeah, I just think it should be a nice moment for them. Having done it, I also found it one of my favourite parts of the day because I could see how much other people appreciated it. I knew how much my mum loved it. I could see how proud my groom was of me. I could see he was really proud when I made his mates laugh. And also just like my friends, the girls that had seen me through my single years and things. It wasn't just all about the love of my partner. It was the love of everyone in that room. Without it becoming a thank you list, I managed to like involve everyone and hopefully make everyone feel part of the day and feel special too.
Yeah, really, really like that. It's about not just about you and your partner, but how can you make everyone else feel amazing around you? I really like that. So I have started my speech. I've set the tone. I've done what you said. I've got the laugh within the first sort of 30 seconds. How do I keep my guests engaged and entertained by the speech going forward?
Right. So I would say it's always good to have a good anecdote in there.
Like the podcast again, isn't it?
Really? Yeah.
So, you know, when we have guests on, we say to them, please bring as many anecdotes as you possibly can.
Yes.
Because, you know, we want to hear things that went wrong or things that you've learned. And I think it's the same sort of premise,
well,
isn't it?
Well, it's just, again, when one of the service speechy offers is an edit service. So people can send in their speeches and we make it better for them. I mean, sometimes they're brilliant and we don't need to bother doing anything. But generally, it's the same old mistakes. And one of those things is that people describe their partner simply with adjectives. So they'll say, they're kind, they're funny, they're thoughtful. And to be honest, a lot of these adjectives are the same. And adjectives in a speech can be white noise. They don't actually say much without the evidence. So that's what we need to do is the anecdote should provide the evidence. So whatever it is that you're trying to say, whatever your theme is, your anecdotes need to back them up.
Like that. That's a really good way of thinking. Light bulb.
So, I mean, when you say they're forgetful, you know, tell about the time that they forgot where the car was parked and you had to like go around a town for 4 hours looking for the car, or when they've been thoughtful to you and ordered your favourite coffee from the other side of the world or whatever, you know, make it real, make these examples real, and that really adds flavour, it adds depth, it gets people understanding the relationship, it gives people insights as well, and it just, adjectives are boring unless they're backed up.
Yeah, I really like that because there are, seeing as you said that, I am listening to you, I promise. As well as you are, I sit there and I'm like, oh, I could do that.
All the
ideas started to flow when you said that. So, for example, I know my partner will probably say something about the fact my geography is horrific, and I'm literally the worst person to be navigator in the car.
Well, in your speech, you need to do that quiz, don't you? And prove, like, you know all the capital cities, yeah. Get someone heckling you or something. Yeah, the ultimate comeback speech.
So there are things that you might not think about.
Yes.
But then actually, if you're thinking of, okay, why do I think they're funny?
Yes.
What do they do that I think is funny? Yeah. And then you can go, okay, well, maybe that one's not so appropriate, but then this one could work what is funny about that? Like getting to the baseline of why they are funny.
Well, I think it's like when you sit down at a blank screen and go, I've got to talk about love, and it's just really intimidating, isn't it? And actually, you've got to go much smaller than that. You've got to think about your love in terms of the everyday reality of it.
We're not trying to be philosophers here.
No, exactly. Yes, we've got Pinterest for that, haven't we? So, look at your everyday relationship for a week. Just look at. Look at how he's made you laugh, look at the nice things he's done, look at how he's annoyed you, look at the weird stuff you both do together, and just like kind of do a relationship autopsy throughout the week and just like spot stuff. Mm. That will get your brain into gear and you realise you have loads to say that you didn't even realise you had.
And I guess as well, when you're doing that sort of relationship autopsy, there are lots of different things that you could possibly pull up from, like, as you say, what makes you annoyed, what actually made you laugh, there's so many emotions that you can feel for one person, you know, and like maybe what don't you quite love about them that week annoyed you or upset you? Is there something funny in that now that you've gone through it?
Now that you've laughed about it? I mean, that's when we're working with clients. It is those questions that often elicit the best responses to for us. Is like, what do you debate? What are they no good at? What would they like to change about you? You know, obviously we do like get to the heart of the love and we are sentimental people at the end of the day, but it's trying to get a real sense of someone's relationship and sort of, make sure that everyone in the room doesn't feel like you're sugarcoating anything and that you're actually giving them the privilege of an insight into your real relationship.
Yeah, and I think as well there was a trend on TikTok not too far back ago, actually. I'm sure if you searched it just to get a bit of inspiration, you could. But it was when couples would literally stand there with that weird voice changer and they would read a list of the icks they had about each other.
Yes, brutal.
Yeah, but it was brutal in a nice way the same time. So if you need some inspiration of things that you could maybe, the way you could phrase things, or a lot of them did put it quite bluntly, but what do they laugh about afterwards? How did that trigger?
It's how to phrase these things in a nice way, like what annoys you can turn into the best backhanded compliment. For example, I love you. You can't eat anything without dropping crumbs on the floor and you manage to spoil most movies by correctly guessing the ending. But the truth is, I want to spend every irritating minute of my life with you. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Once you've got these little nuggets, then you package them up into something that feels genuinely romantic.
I really like that as well, because you've taken the annoyances, but then you've ended it with what makes it enjoyable.
Yes, exactly. I mean, if it was just a list of criticisms, that'd probably be a bad speech. But
can you imagine? I don't like this about you.
Yes, exactly. But again, that's another thing, right? Rather than listing the things you love about someone, sometimes it's interesting to list the things you like about someone. So, like, I like the fact that my partner knows about pensions and I don't. I like the I like it when he wears an olive green t-shirt. I like it that he's willing to dive off the highest diving board. You know, these little things add up to a sweeter picture. Do you know what I mean? So,
likes rather than love.
Yeah, it somehow feels a bit more.
Because then that kind of taps into the friendship side as well, yes, of your relationship, yeah, yes, rather yeah. than that more like romantic side.
Yeah, it's kind of a more genuine compliment in a way to like than love someone, because love can be a bit crazy.
Yeah, you're blinded by love.
Yes, yes, but likes, you're a solidly decent person. Yeah.
Well done, you.
Yeah, you're a good egg, yeah.
Or well done to your mum, more. Yeah. So how do we thank people? And obviously, like, you know, the aim of the speech would be to thank people for being there. Yes. But how do you do those thank yous without overdoing it? You know, if I wanted yes. to thank my mother-in-law, for example,
yeah.
how would I do that without being like, thank you for raising such a wonderful
oh,
person?
Oh, yes. I mean, that just boring. don't bother with that. well, I'd always, as a general guide, I'd always try and thank your parents and their parents. And I try and think of them, like, as opposed to them being parents with your in-laws, what is it about them that you can pull out that shows you appreciate them for being just a decent person as opposed to your mother-in-law? So thank you for making the best Yorkshire puddings in Essex. Or father-in-law, thank you for sharing your malt whiskey collection with me, or something like that. Thank you for not forcing me to go on too many Sunday walks, or something like that. That shows that you recognise your own personal relationship with them. And again, with your parents, make the love real. So thank you for, you know, it can be something random about your childhood. Thank you for giving me that Millennium Falcon Lego set instead of the Barbies that my sister was getting, or whatever. You know, it can be cute little stuff like that that just triggers a memory from your past. Or, you know, thanks for not grounding me when I did XYZ, or thank you for continuing to be the person I call when I forget my PIN number, or you know, or I need new insurance advice, or whatever it is. Make it real.
Yeah, and that's almost like it's not then an inside joke either, because it's a memory that you're sharing. It's not actually a joke.
Yes,
a
yeah, everyone understands it and probably will relate to that concept of, I don't know, always calling your dad over to help with the plumbing or whatever it is. Everyone can sort of relate to having that sort of fatherly connection or parent connection, and smile at that too.
Yeah, that's really good. And in terms of like the quirks of that relationship with your parent or in-laws or whoever you're thanking at that moment in time, that could be a spur of inspiration as well, like the quirky side.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially with friends, I'm like, a lot of people struggle when they seem to be thanking people, and it seems to relate mostly to hen and stag days. And obviously you need to thank people for all their wedding prep and things, but actually I think it's much more valuable to thank them for years of friendship and being the only person that you could call at 4 o'clock in the morning, or you know, all those years of holding your hair back when you might have been too drunk.
I thought you were going to go really romantic then, and you were like, holding your hair back over there.
So, no, sorry, lowering the tone there.
No, it's fine. That also kind of works for like bridesmaids and groomsmen.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
All of those wedding party kind of speeches.
Yeah, exactly.
Well.
And, You know, you can. I'd hope you're going to personally thank people for all their wedding prep as well. You know, if people have given you an amazing hen do and stag do and things like that, I hope you're going to have thanked them before. So, you know, the thank you, I'd say concentrate on the friendship.
I really, really like that one. How to conclude a speech. I think that might be a good thing
yeah,
to cover.
Yeah, absolutely. So the toast should summarise, if you can, the whole theme of your speech. So it's basic journalistic principles. You know, if you're writing a blog post, you say what it's about, you then prove it, and then it needs to be summarised at the end. So, you know, any writing that you've done, it's a similar sort of idea.
Intro, evidence, conclusion.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Wrap it up.
Structure.
Yeah. So, you know, if you've done something, a theme that is about, well, our romance is not the classical Disney romance, but it works. Your toast might be, here's to a life of unconventional fairy tales or something like that, or here's to our happy ever after or something that ties up that idea. Or it can just be a reiteration of your point that you love them. So it could be, a promise, like something that you've talked about earlier on in the speech. Like, for example, you could have revealed, I love the fact that he's this action hero. He loves doing all this daring stuff, but he's still scared of spiders or something. Like, you've mentioned that earlier. And then towards the end, it might end with, I love you. I promise to be the best possible partner I can to you. I promise to do X, Y, Z, and I also promise to protect you from spiders, or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
So it's always clever to try and do that idea of what we call a callback. So it's something that you planted early on in the speech, and maybe it just is like a throwaway gag, but you refer to it later on in the speech, and it just always makes you seem a lot wittier than you are.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, making you feel a lot wittier than you are, find a throwaway gag and then maybe bring it, wrap it up at the end so that it all ties perfectly into a little bow.
Exactly.
Amazing. Okay. Do you have any top tips for couples that are writing their speech right now that would help them, especially for the bride speech, but for any speech, really?
I'd say, crack open a bottle of wine.
Number one, get the alcohol.
Yeah, and basically sit down and talk about it and talk, you know, brainstorm, get ideas, feel excited about what you can do about this. I mean, so much time is thought about colours of weddings and fonts and, you know, flowers. And actually, your speeches can be the epicentre of your day, especially as a lot more weddings are less religious, less formal. This is the heart and soul of your day. This is where you all connect as one. And so really think about how you can kickstart the day with this sort of emotional laughter, love bomb of a moment. And obviously another tip I would give is get the book.
Absolutely. We'll put a link to Heidi's book, by the way, in the show notes so that you can buy it.
Hopefully it would give loads of questions that you can use to then think of your own unique speech.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today,
Heidi. Oh, it's been a pleasure.
I hope you have enjoyed the conversation as much as I have. And I'm hoping that the listeners have found this super useful. I know that while I'm sitting here, I've been getting loads of inspiration and ideas for my own bride's speech.
Oh, well,
so
I'm excited for you.
You know
you're
what? I'm going to have to record it and send it to you.
Oh, that would be a treat. Yes, that would be lovely.
Amazing. Well, it's not long to go now, so fingers crossed it will all go well, and I'll have to share it with you when we're done.
So. Oh, no doubt it will go well. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
If you are wanting to find out more about Speechy services or want to buy Heidi's book, we've got all the relevant links for you in the show notes, as well as on guidestobrides.co.uk. And if you want to follow us on social media, it's at guidestobrides or at Speechy Speeches. And we will be chatting with you again very soon. For now, though, happy wedding planning, and don't forget to check out the book.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Guide to Brides, the wedding podcast. Head over to guidestobrides.co.uk to continue your wedding planning, and don't forget to like, follow and subscribe on our social media channels at Guides for Brides.